We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Good morning, Washington, D.C. What up, everybody? Time to get up and at 'em with me here live and local. Saturday morning in the nation's capital. It's AWOD Radio on a Saturday, July 12th. And this is D.C. Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan. Got you covered on both ends of the dial. Simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond. You can hear us 9:10 a.m., 105.1 FM. And always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Use it like I do to rewind to catch the sports junkies Monday through Friday from 6 to 10 a.m. It gives you the ability to pause the show, run some errands, rewind, and then pick up right where you left off, all on the free Odyssey app. And as we sit here in the dog days of summer, I'm already starting to dream and look ahead to September. I had all my friends blowing me up this week. Did you get the Madrid tickets? Did you get the Madrid tickets? I don't want to go to Madrid. My dad wants to go to Madrid, but I'm excited for that game. Damn right I am. Hell yeah. It feels like it's right around the corner. When the NFL season begins, I'm going to be so excited for what the Commanders can do. And we are just 10 days away from training camp. And this is one of the most anticipated Commander seasons in a long time. I mean, I talked about it this week on my show. For anybody that's younger than probably 25 years old, this is absolutely probably the most anticipated season that you've ever witnessed. I could point to a few other seasons, but none where we had the focal point, the leader, the franchise quarterback, and he was healthy. That's the big one, right? He was healthy, and he had a full off season to build off of his success. And in my mind, this front office had a stellar off season. I got pissed off when I read that ESPN graded us with a C. And maybe we'll get into that on the show today, because I just don't know how you can look at the moves Adam Peters made and gave this team anything lower than a B+, or even a B. I'm giving them an A. But we'll talk about how Jaden Daniels will hopefully develop in year two, and what weapons does he have around him? Does he have enough weapons? Does Jaden Daniels have good enough talent around him to win the division? 1-800-636-1067 is the phone lines we'll discuss on the show today. We'd like to make this the most interactive radio show possible. You can always tweet us at AWOD Radio or at 106.7 The Fan. It is Wake Up with Wimbledon with the Wimbledon Finals there. Brunch with Wimbledon, as I like to call it as a kid. Saturday and Sunday today, American Amanda Anisimova trying to accomplish what Coco Gauff did at the French Open just a month ago, and what American Madison Keys accomplished in Australia, winning the Australian championship, the Aussie Open. Amanda Anisimova could be the third different American woman to win a Grand Slam this calendar year. 3 for 3 is what America could be. And that's just insane to think about. Now, that match will have your first serve at 11 a.m., and she's going up against Iga Swiatek, who I do think, Anna Poland, is the best tennis player in the world right now. I know a lot of people think it's on the women's side, Sabalenka, because she's got the size and the strength, but Swiatek's like a cat. She's like Rafa Nadal, the way she can cover the court. It's unbelievable. So Anisimova, who I believe is just 23 years old, will have the match of her life if she wants to win. She'll have to, because it will be a tough test. But how crazy is that to think that the American women could go 3 for 3 in the Australian Open, the French Open, and now here in Wimbledon? And the men have not had a Grand Slam champ since Andy Roddick 22 years ago. And I feel like I have to keep saying that stat, because every time I say it, people tell me they didn't know that. And I'm like, well, have you not watched the sport? I think that's part of the reason that we struggle in America as men in professional tennis, is who do they have to look up to? Right? Who do they have to look up to? Because none of them were champions, right? The guys that are playing now, they watched Andy Roddick and James Blake lose to the big three And now our guys are losing to Alcaraz and Yannick Sinner. And so it's just, it's a struggle, and it pisses me off personally. But every time I bring up, so I have to say, the women deserve their credit. They have rocked. They have kicked ass on the professional stage for tennis for my entire lifetime. And the men, it's been 22 years since I've seen a champion. So I want to dive in later about why I think the men struggle so much. But it, the top of my mind today is the NBA Summer League. Because I stayed up late, had dinner, made some popcorn, got locked in front of the TV on the couch to watch my Washington Wizards, the Wiz Kids, in Summer League hoops. And to be honest, I was severely disappointed with what I watched. Now, it's just Summer League. And it's just game one. But that was tough. And so I wanted to start the show today with my thoughts on the future of the Washington Wizards. And although that was an ugly game, the future is still very bright in my mind with the two guys that Ted Leonsis have put in charge, in Michael Winger and Will Dawkins. For the first time, I believe in the front office of the Washington Wizards. And we're not going to run this thing like Ernie Grunfeld and Tommy Shepard. Michael Winger and Will Dawkins have already shown they're willing to take risks, they're willing to make moves, and they are working on some projects here. And it's going to take some time, but they're trying to build it the right way, the way the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Houston Rockets did. Those two teams finished first and second place in the very difficult Western Conference this past regular season. So we'll start with my take on the Washington Wizards' Summer League performance last night. But Summer League basketball is just, it's so fun for those like myself that are college hoops nerds, that watch all the college basketball action from basically late October, November to March and into early April. And I recognized 95% of the roster, where they went to college, did they make a tournament run, from Kobe Brea to Yuri Collins, Jameer Watkins, Rashear Fleming. I mean, half the league that's playing there in Summer League are guys I felt like I covered in college, either in the A-10 or the ACC or some crossover from tournaments I went to. And so I do feel like Summer League, it's sicko hoops for college basketball fans like myself. It's awesome. But for the Washington Wizards last night, you know, I have to start with the idea of sending the boys back. Sending the boys back for another year. Because not often had Wizards fans seen a first-round pick come back for year two at Summer League, let alone all three first-round picks. That sets the tone. It's something the front office has stolen from the NBA champions, Oklahoma City Thunder, about 12 years ago, sent Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden back to Summer League. And that set the tone. If those guys can go back, then the new crop has no excuse of SGA, Jalen Williams, Chet Holmgren, etc. And that's a big part of, I think, how the young guys for the Thunder developed. You play to improve because you haven't made it yet. And to me, that's like the biggest thing. It's almost a slap in the face to some of these guys, but they need it, I feel like. You haven't made it yet. You're making millions of dollars. You achieved your dream of playing in the NBA, but you haven't arrived. Go back to Vegas, play another 10 games for us, and get some work in before we get back here for the regular season, right? You haven't arrived yet. Go get back to work. That's the right way to run your NBA team. So Washington sent back Bob Carrington, Alex Saar, and Keyshawn George after being in the league for a year. And I'll tell you this, I thought Bob Carrington had a terrific rookie season. I loved what I saw from him his entire rookie year as he developed, started getting more minutes, started getting more control of the offense, finished the season with the game winner. He was unbelievable in mid-range. I saw the assist numbers improve and improve and improve. I think he's your point guard of the future from what I saw last year in the regular season. Keyshawn George, I think they found something in him. I talked to Jim Larrañaga, who was the head coach at Miami, when he had Keyshawn George, about this kid, and he told me how much upside he thought he had because this kid has unbelievable work ethic. And I think they really found a gem in Keyshawn George. It's going to be interesting to see what kind of role he has in the future. Is he your starting power forward? Is he starting small forward? Can he play more on ball, because I do like him with his size, you know, doing some pick and roll or even a pick-and-pop situation. But he has already shown he could be a knockdown shooter, he could drive to the basket, and he can defend. And Bob Carrington can defend. And you hope that Alex Saar can become an elite defender. But Alex Saar, I didn't think had a solid rookie season at all. And so I'll get to the action last night. I thought they got a really good game from Keyshawn George. Man, I thought he looked more confident, more clean, smooth with his handling. Just a more mature basketball player than he was last season. And it felt like the minutes he got last season certainly were important for his development. But he looked like a grown man almost playing against rookies last night. He looked improved. I loved that. He had a very nice transition basket where he kind of bodied Malawak on the way to the basket. I loved what I saw from Keyshawn George. Now we talk about the rookies. Trey Johnson, Will Riley, defender, Jameer Watkins, they made their debuts. Trey had a decent couple of shots there. I'm worried that he might be a little small. That's the one thing that stood out to me. My goodness, did he look undersized at times? Certainly had the hops to make up for that. Will Riley, tough shot maker. But I did think Jameer Watkins brought something on the defensive end. A bunch of other guys showed up out there, like A.J. Johnson was traded to Washington. He's got incredible athleticism. But it just wasn't a good game for many. And it wasn't a good night for Wizards fans. Final score, 103-84, win for the Phoenix Suns. It felt like a group that had potential, but wasn't ready to, put that potential to work and to play together. And, man, it was a tough performance because I had so much high hopes and expectations given the fact that you're bringing back your three guys that played all of last year. Going up against, Ryan Dunn out of UVA, who I don't know is ever going to, really stick on an NBA team. Kobe Brea is a good three-point shooter. I don't think he's going to stick. Yuri Collins is a mid-major point guard. Like, they should have destroyed this Suns team last night in my mind, but it didn't happen that way. And I'll give you my box score breakdown here. So 24 points from Keyshawn George. He was our best player by 4. 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, 5 turnovers. Now, I told you I want him maybe more on ball and see what he can do, running the pick and roll, maybe running parts of the offense here as a really tall, guard or small forward. But those 5 turnovers, might as well get them out in summer league. Let's see if the coaching staff wants him to try to run the offense more later in this summer league here. But the Trey Johnson, I thought that the shooting touch was there. He doesn't feel like he wants to fully attack the basket. He pulled up from mid-range a few times. I want him to add that to his game. I feel like he's got the hops where he could just, leap over someone and try to slam the ball instead of just putting it up soft or pulling up with a one-legged mid-range shot. But the three-point shot looked smooth. I kind of liked him feisty on defense there. Will Riley didn't give you much. Bub Carrington, I really thought he was running our offense like a pure guard, and I thought some of his passes were terrific, and it does stick out to me that he played 32 minutes and had 0 turnovers, but he couldn't shoot where the lick last night. I mean, Bub was 1 of 9 from the field, 1 of 5 from 3. He was taking tough shots. It felt like he was, trying to get his teammates involved, and when he saw his team started going down by 8 to 10 points, he started pulling up from long range and some mid-range with guys in his face, and it wasn't the best shot selection from him, to be honest with you. But, like, the way he controlled the offense, I thought that was impressive. 5 assists, 0 turnovers in 32 minutes. I'm going to take that. I certainly am. And then you get to Alex Saar, and I didn't like what I saw from Saar all night long. And that's why I'm really worried. I kind of think they missed on this pick. It's tough. You were in a situation almost where I don't think anybody that was going like top 2 or 3 last year was going to be a sure thing right away. You kind of had to take a shot on a project, and he is a project for sure, and maybe he can develop. But that was just another awful performance in my mind from Alex Saar. And the box score looks much better. 5 of 10 from the field, 4 from the free throw line, 15 points, 4 rebounds. But I thought he was outplayed for most of the game by Cayman Malawak, who is the rookie after playing at Duke this past season. And so it's like, well, Saar, what did you learn from last season and then bring this into Summer League? And one of my biggest fears is that he is a bust. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall! Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan. Simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM. Always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. And we are live and local here on a Saturday morning in the nation's capital, live and local till 12 noon. You can always tweet us your thoughts at AWOD Radio or at 106.7 The Fan. Murphy lets me know he's listening. I appreciate him. You can always tweet me at AWOD Radio. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. Phone lines 1-800-636-1067. So I'm talking about the Washington Wizards and that Summer League performance last night that was not fun, right? I mean, I really did believe, and I'm still going to believe this, because we got another game tomorrow. And another game the 15th, and I think another game the 17th, right? It's like game on, day off, game on, day off. I think this Summer League is going to be more fun than the regular season. I really do believe that. Because it's our young guns against the other team's young guns. And there's no Kevin Durant's in the way, right? There's no LeBron James in the way, right? This is our guys' chance to go out there and be dominant and really show their stuff. Less like they didn't do that. And my biggest fear about Alex Saar is that he's a bust and that you just wasted a number two overall pick last year. Now, luckily, like I said, they made three first-round selections. And right now, in my mind, like, Keyshawn George has really developed, and I'm going to be a Bub Carrington fan probably for the rest of my life. I just love every part of his game. But Alex Saar, man, I'm worried. I really am. I don't know how you could have watched him last season and then last night and felt like he improved over the offseason. Like, where was the improvement? And so my biggest fear is that he's a bust. And when I say a bust, like, I don't mean he has no talent. Because he might be great in Euro leagues. He might have a great career in France. But unless he is able to bulk up, play stronger, and kind of just man up, the NBA won't be for him. It won't be. I was very unhappy with what I saw last night. I did not feel like I was watching a guy that was much improved. I don't like his demeanor on the court. Like, seriously, get angry, Alex Saar, when you're getting balled up by Malawak, right? And you can't hit a shot from the outside. It felt to me like I was watching a guy that was timid and was shy the entire first half. After just playing a full season of NBA basketball, going up against guys that were just playing college hoops. Where is your, right? Where is your, like, hey, I played in the league. Give somebody else a welcome to the NBA moment. Instead, I didn't feel like I saw that from Alex Saar. The four turnovers were awful. Yes, he did have three blocks, and I feel like he can do something on the defensive end at times, but at other times, he's just not strong enough. And then on the offensive side of the ball, it's kind of a nightmare situation for me to have a guy that big stay around the three-point line, and it's like his biggest threat was one dribble, and then I'm going to hand it off and set a screen. And then I'm not even going to roll to the basket. I'm going to pick and pop over and over and over again. And then he goes into the locker room at halftime. And it's almost like the coaching staff grabbed him by the neck and screamed to him, man up and get aggressive. Man up and get aggressive. Because the entire second half, he was like out of control in my mind. He was forcing the issue too much and trying to kind of like flailing his arms trying to get a foul. We need to find a happy medium. But, you know, he was part of a draft class, was not the strongest, and I never really knew what to expect out of him, but I thought he'd be way better than this by now. And so I'm a little salty. Now, like I said, I still trust this front office. And they made three picks last year, right? And I think you could throw the numbers aside because last year was such a weird draft class. Like, Alex Saar, if he went in this year, I don't think he's even top five, right? I mean, yes, he's 7 foot, but besides that, like, he went number two in a weak draft, and a lot of people told me, like, Ace Bailey would have gone number one or two last year. And what about Harper, right? So it wasn't the strongest draft class, and you could throw the numbers aside in my mind because he was a number two overall pick, but Bub was a 14, and then Keyshawn George was later than that. And so I believe in this front office, and he's a project. But that was a bad game. That was a bad game. Bub Carrington. I might be the biggest Bub Carrington fan in the DMV. I love every part of his game, and I think he's going to develop a new superstar. I really do. And nothing about his performance last night changed my mind on that. He had a bad shooting night, 1 of 9 from the field. It was a bad shooting night. But the court vision that he shows, the unselfishness, I do feel like he's our point guard of the future. And that's why I was so super excited to move on from Jordan Poole, hand him the keys, let him cook, give him a summer league here. I'm not sure he's going to last the entire summer league because I think if he keeps playing like he did last night and then starts hitting some shots, you're going to say, all right, well, 4 points, 5 assists is nothing. But if he has 15 points and 5 assists, now you're talking about an awesome point guard in summer league here. And I think he can do that consistently because, like I told you in the first, I really felt like he was kind of forcing the shots because he saw his team falling behind. And that's what I want a leader to do. Like the first 5 minutes of that game, I didn't think Bub even attempted a shot or really did anything other than create for his teammates. I look at this kid and I say, I think he can do what Chris Paul did in this league for a long time. Get to your spot on the basket, on the court to hit a mid-range jump shot or get into the paint and kick it out to open shooters, you know, drive and dish it to the big men. I'm never going to say bad things about Bub Carrington. I just really do believe in this kid. He's so young. I think he's uber talented. He's got the size to really last in this league. I'm super excited about that. I do think he's the point guard of our future. Trey Johnson, I want to see how this kid develops because that shot looks so smooth and he really did, you know, show off the speed there. But I wonder if he, is going to be undersized. The way he looked out there last night didn't look like a guy that was 6'5", 6'6". He looked like a guy that was like almost like 6'2", under 200 pounds. Like he kind of did look skinny out there. He did have the highlight play, throwing it kind of off Malawak's leg and laying it back in. And I do think he's a quick leaper. And I'm excited about this kid for sure, for sure. But I am worried a little bit about that backcourt, Bub Carrington, Trey Johnson, defensively. I wonder how that can work here. But I'm starting to get myself excited for that draft pick in Trey Johnson. I mean, I think some of the things he showed you last night show you a lot of potential in this league if a guy like Bub Carrington can get him some open three-point shots, if guys like Keyshawn George can drive and kick. I do think the more he can get some open shots, you're going to really see his game develop. But 18 points, you know, in his first time going up against, you know, NBA competition here in summer league, that was a really good performance. I really liked what I saw from Keyshawn George and Trey Johnson. Bub Carrington didn't have the shot, but I liked the court vision. It's just the Alex Saar thing is really frustrating to me. And I do think that this team can still develop into a playoff team in the next few years without Alex Saar, but maybe it puts you back another year. And is this fan base going to be able to handle that? That this rebuild, you know, it might be 2027, 2028 by the time you see this team actually, you know, win some serious games against some good competition. So the Alex Saar thing was frustrating last night. It really was to me. But besides that, I didn't hate what I saw from the other guys. But, man, it was not fun to see this team lose by 20 points to the Phoenix Suns when I thought they had the talent to win the NBA Summer League in Vegas. You're listening to AWOD here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan. Don't go anywhere. Don't change that dial. I'll be right back.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball.
Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast in the Team 980, 910 AM in Richmond, 105.1 FM. Always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. If you're driving around the DMV and you want to chime in, it's easy. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. That's 1-800-636-1067. You can tweet us your thoughts at AWOD Radio or at 106.7 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. Johnny tweets me, AWOD, SAR's lack of confidence is concerning, but I'm hopeful he'll turn it around. Peace and love, AWOD. I am worried about that. I mean, here's what I've noticed on social media from Wizards fans. People are going hard on Alex SAR and Bob Carrington for their performances last night. And you want to come at SAR, that's fine with me. I didn't like what I saw last year. I didn't like what I saw last night. I don't know what I see in the future from him because the lack of confidence is concerning. It felt like he just, you know, wants to stay around the outside and shoot the three. And it's like, well, what are you 7 foot for then, bro? I mean, come on now. I'd probably have to really dive into this, but I felt like one of the big issues last night was the Wizards couldn't get any points in the paint because their damn center stands around the outside and doesn't even hit his shots when he throws it up there. I mean, it's concerning as hell watching Alex SAR. But anybody that's coming for Bob Carrington, I'm sorry, I'm not here for that, and I'm not playing that game because it was one bad shooting performance. But what more do you want from your point guard in terms of 5 assists to 0 turnovers? 5 assists led the team. In fact, almost led the entire game if it wasn't for Yuri Collins and his 6 assists for the Suns, but he had 3 turnovers. Like, I'm seeing people say the Washington Wizards need a pure point guard. I think Bob Carrington is a pure point guard. I think Bob Carrington is a pure point guard. We might not have anybody in the paint, might be the issue. We don't have any big guy that can actually battle down low defensively and then get some transition buckets on offense and be able to grab offensive rebounds and put it back in. Alex SAR 7 foot something and had 1 offensive rebound. 1 offensive rebound last night. The Suns completely offensive demolished us on the rebounding front. So I just don't like why people are taking a shot at Bob Carrington. To me, that's a box score warrior right there. Yes, he was 1 for 9, but I thought he was facilitating the basketball, and he only started to really put up shots that were. It was a bad shot selection from Bob. But he was trying to, like, get us back in the game. I thought the other thing is, I thought the first quarter last night was excellent hoops. That was, like, up and down, back and forth, 23-23. It was really fun to watch. And then our second unit came in and didn't really show me much. I thought Jameer Watkins played good defensively. A.J. Johnson is an athletic freak. He couldn't hit his shot from the outside at all, but he is an athletic monster. But it's like, and somebody put this out on social media, it's concerning as hell to see NBA guys lose to guys that are not in the league yet, right? Because that was the whole thing. You bring back your 3 rookies so that hopefully you have the upper hand in summer league. I'm sure Brian Keefe, who was watching the game and actually was on the broadcast at a time being interviewed by the play-by-play and color announcer, he wasn't happy with what he saw. It was like they showed Will Dawkins sitting, I think it was like below the baseline. And the look that he had on his face when Alex SAR missed another shot was like, uh-oh. Is this project going to fail already? I'm not ready to go that far. But I have like changed my mind in terms of the guys that we drafted last year. I really like Keyshawn George. I love Bob Carrington. I'm so out on Alex SAR, and I'm going to need to see a lot more from him. I mean, he played last season, and it was like, where's that confidence? Where's that confidence yesterday? Maybe he'll show up better in another game, but that's definitely the first thing that I would be concerned about. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. Talking about the Washington Wizards and their summer league performance. I am still a believer in this front office, all right? And they can miss on a few of these picks because you got to take a shot here. You got to swing on somebody because, you know, the reason to pick Alex Saar is the potential. Is, man, 7 foot, can hit the shot from the outside. We see what he can do as a rim protector. We feel like we can develop him. And I do think that Brian Keefe is the right coach because he has the mind for developing talent, and he's done it in the past here. It's just going to be tough for fans of this team here, like myself, to watch through some of this ugliness as these guys develop and get better. And so that's why I'm locked into Summer League, because I know the regular season is going to be 82 games and maybe 60 losses. I thought the Summer League would be more wins. I really did. And it was just one game, just one game, just giving you my spit take reaction last night. Liked what I saw from Keyshawn George. Trey Johnson, decent. I want to know how much that size is going to affect him when he's going up against, you know, some legit shooting guards this upcoming season for the Washington Wizards. But he's got the speed, he's got the quickness, got a good quick release. I don't think you're going to get much from Will Riley. But I just, if the Saar pick is a bust, how much does that set back this rebuild for the Washington Wizards? I think that's my question. And I'm hopeful that if the Saar pick is a bust, but if either Keyshawn George or Bub actually it turns into something, then it's like, all right, well, we hit with one of our picks. If you hit on, you know, one pick 3 years in a row, you should be able to develop a team. And at least they're trying to do it the right way. They're trying to do it the right way. They're not, you know, cutting corners and going out and trying to trade for Kevin Durant. They're not trying to trade for Giannis. I mean, we got Bradley Beal off of our roster. The Phoenix Suns are desperately trying to do that right now. So I think this front office has done the right job since they've gotten it. It's just going to take a while. And I think it's going to take a while because they're doing it the way where we don't want to just be a 5 seed. We've done that before. We don't want to just win a playoff series. We've done that before. We're building so that we could have maybe an Eastern Conference contender in the future, and we're not going to settle for anything less. And I think that's the right way to approach this, right, is we want all-star talent here. And we can swing and we can miss, but we're going to keep swinging for the fences because we want to bring in an all-star talent here and develop young talent that's below the age of 24 that we can then, you know, keep and remain as a Washington Wizards player for the foreseeable future. We can keep our own talent. Draft them, develop them, re-sign them, build out your roster. It's just going to take some time, and I'm a huge Wizards fan, and I look back at the John Wall, Bradley Beal era, and I say, man, like, they never even peaked. Right? Like, can Trey Johnson, Bub Carrington get to that level of Bradley Beal and John Wall? That I would hope so. But that's not even good enough, right? That's not even good enough. We got to get better than that if you want to actually compete in the Eastern Conference. I mean, I was tired of Bradley Beal and John Wall and not getting over the hump because they never had a good enough center, or they never had a good enough small forward. And then we bring in Paul Pierce, but you know, that was a 5 seed, a 4 seed, a 6 seed, right? Like, I want to develop a roster that can be a 1 seed in the Eastern Conference. It might take some time, certainly, but I believe in this front office. I think they're going to do it right. Just going to take some time. But what I saw from Alex Saar last night pissed me off. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. I'll be right back. Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's A-Wide, live and local here in the nation's capital on a Saturday, July 12th, just after 9:45 a.m. this morning. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. You can be the point guard of this segment. Give me your thoughts. or tweet them at AWide Radio or at 106.7 The Fan. I know we got a few callers that don't want to talk Wizards, but let's go to the Wizards caller first. We've got Steve in Greenbelt. Steve, you're on The Fan with AWide. What's up, man?
Yeah, hey, AWide. I was just listening to you talk about you don't want to be or don't want to settle for, you know, a number five spot in the playoffs. And, you know, that's why I would take that better than what we've had the past 3 years. And, you know, you got to get through the five spots to get to the top. But, you know, I obviously you want more than that, but we got nothing right now.
Yeah.
And I don't see that we're going to have anything anytime soon. I mean, this is what, the third year or the fourth year or whatever, the rebuild. And, you know, hey, if we can make it to the five spot, I would settle for that right now.
I see what you're saying, Steve, but let me throw this back at you, all right? So I understand what you're saying, and you're right. It's been a while. But not all of this rebuild was with the right front office, right? They had to move on from Tommy Shepard after he gave Bradley Beal no trade clause, right? But when this team had Bradley Beal and John Wall, and they were winning one playoff series every year and then getting ousted, and that was it. Like, I want more than that. And then you go back to the Gilbert era, and I was obsessed with Gilbert and Kron and Anton. Then they lose to LeBron, and it's like, how many years can we just deal with that? Like, I want to get past that, and I do feel like this front office is building a team to hopefully get past that and get to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Is this the front office that drafted Alex Saar?
It is, but as I was saying, you didn't have much choices last year, right? You didn't really have great choices last year's NBA draft.
Well, you know what? That's the problem with the whole plan of the you know, yeah, let's tear it all down and build it back up. Yeah, it's not that automatic. You know
no.
what I mean? And you need somebody up there who can give us a better pick. I'm not saying, you know, the second pick last year was going to be a superstar, but I think we needed something better than Alex Saar. And if that's what we're going to be doing draft after draft, guess what? We don't have to worry about getting to the top because we're not going to get to the fifth pick. I mean,
yeah.
to the fifth spot. Anyway,
look, I'm with you on Alex Saar. I don't like what I saw from him last night. I didn't like what I saw last season. But do you like Bob Carrington or Keyshawn George last year's picks?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're fine. Okay, but you know what? They don't make me forget what we had about 3 or 4 years ago. I know that, you know, they weren't getting to the top, but at least it gave you a reason to watch. Okay, at least they were competitive.
Yeah.
And when I look, yeah, you know, and I know that was the team that was in place, the management team from whenever that period of time was, but I haven't seen anything about the current management team that makes me think, hey, we got something here now.
I get what you're saying. I would just say, give it a couple more years. Do you really want Bradley Beal still on this roster?
I didn't want Bradley Beal on the roster when they gave him that extension and everybody was screaming at them, don't give him an extension.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously that was a crazy mistake. But there's a lot of players running around on the NBA that we had, and we didn't have to get rid of them. But, you know, oh, we're gonna build it up. But, you know, you got to have somebody who's got the ability to build it up. You know, it's great conceptually, but you got to be able to, and, you know, you wait all this time, you get rid of all these players to get the number two overall pick, and we got it. And guess what? It wasn't worth the wait.
Yeah. Well, this year it would have been. I mean, that's the whole thing. If we had Cooper Flagg, we would be talking about, man, this front office, it worked. The tank worked. The lottery system screwed us.
Well, you know what? It's not the first time we've been screwed by the lottery system, and that's exactly what I say. You know, this notion that we'll just tear it all down and then the lottery system will come through for us. You know, it doesn't work that way. Like, if bits and butts were candy and nuts, you know, we'd have a great party.
Yeah, but you got to hit on draft picks. I mean, it comes down to that, and I appreciate the call, but I'll go back to 2018. Troy Brown, miss. Rui Hachimura, miss. Denny Avdia, I liked him, and then he's gone. Corey Kispert, that hasn't really developed into a star. Johnny Davis, awful. Tristan Vucevic, hasn't happened yet. Alex Saar was bad. It was a bad pick. You got to hit on your picks. And, no, I'm giving this front office a chance. I understand what he's saying here. He wants to watch a team that's in the playoffs. I get that. I want to watch a team compete for a championship. Let's go to Tim in Haymarket. We're talking all things DC sports here. Tim, what you got for us, man?
What's up, AWOD?
How you doing?
I'm good, man. I just wanted to give an idea James Wood has been amazing. He is amazing. He has never had a day off since he's been up here. The Nats are free-falling right now. The lineup around him is dog water.
Yeah.
And he's about to go into the home run derby and the All-Star game. The kid needs a day off. It's time. Like, there's no point in playing. They're going to get blasted today by the Brewers. They're going to get blasted tomorrow by the Brewers. Like, he needs a break. And I just think it needs to happen.
I don't hate that take. I mean, certainly it could use it. I understand what you're saying because he's going to be involved in the home run derby and then the second half of the season for an awful team that's not going to win many games.
And he's in the All-Star game.
Right. But the other thing is they want to get butts in the seats, and that's the only way to do it right now with James Wood.
Well, our fans aren't in Milwaukee, so maybe today or tomorrow sit him. Because,
yeah.
I mean, he hasn't looked that great at the plate lately anyways.
Like, yeah. But, I mean, think about this, though. You know, your interim president of baseball operations, your interim manager, like less than a week in the job, is going to sit your best player? That's not a great look.
Well, the Nats aren't a great look, period.
Yeah.
So it's not going to hurt.
Yeah. Look, I don't hate it at all. I it's not a bad move because he's already shown he's the future of this team. What more do you need to see?
I mean, his back's going to break if he tries to carry him anymore. Like, he needs at least one day off.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Good call. I appreciate it, man.
Later, Blue.
Let's go to Andre in Manassas. Andre, you're on the Fan.
Hey, what's going on, Ewan?
What's up?
It's rare. I mean, I can only talk to you about soccer, no one else. Quick question for you. FIFA Club World Cup. I've been enjoying it. I know you've been watching it. Paris Saint-Germain, unbelievable. I know now why they call soccer the beautiful game, just to see them play. My question to you, if next year, World Cup, United States, if you're FIFA, if you're, you know, the president, are you having that game in New York? Or are you going to say, you know what, we need a dome stadium? Because looking at the PSG Bayern Munich game that took place in Atlanta in the dome, great game, up and down, entertaining as heck. Watching the game in New York, it was like 100 degrees in the field. So I know New York obviously is our biggest city and all good stuff, but at the end of the day, if you want the best game possible, the best final, are you having it in a dome stadium or are you going to New York in the middle of August to sit outside at 3 o'clock in the afternoon to have a soccer game?
No, Andre, it's a good point, and I'll throw this back at you. I'm super excited to have the World Cup. Have we shown that we deserve it from the attendance at the FIFA Club World Cup, the attendance at the Gold Club, the performance by the U.S. men's national team? Are we going to sell out stadiums next year when it comes here, or is it going to be a dud?
Well, honestly, not to get political, but it really depends what goes on and, you know, in terms of what's going on today with people coming into the country. So certain cities are going to be sold out, I'm pretty sure. But, you know, usually when you see these World Cups on TV, you just basically have fans from all over the world coming to their city to watch the games. And, yeah, it's, you know, again, I don't want to be political, but you don't know how many people out there might be concerned or afraid, for better or for worse, right or wrong, in terms of coming here. So we'll see.
Yeah, no, I get you. I'm excited for the final Sunday. I'll tell you this. It's either 1-0 Chelsea wins or 4-0 PSG wins. That's kind of how I think this would play out here. Like, if it's a defensive battle and maybe Chelsea could get a counterattack goal from João Pedro or for Cole Palmer. But besides that, I mean, PSG just so good in possession, so good at building up their attacks. They're deadly in the box. And, I mean, there's a reason they won the Champions League, Andre. What would be your final score prediction?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think they're going to win 3-0. I think they tore through the EPL. I mean, Arsenal, Liverpool, I think Man City. So, you know, Chelsea, why not? They when they did this run, they beat like 4 or 5 teams from the EPL. So this is just going to be the icing on the cake, the suspect, if you will.
Good call, Andre. Appreciate you chiming in, giving me a chance to talk a little soccer. But we wanted to continue to open up the phone lines. I see Ed wants to talk Wizards, Rico and Bill as well. Do not hang up the phone. We'll get to your calls next. You're listening to AWOD here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall. Did he catch it?
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? check out MLB.com's morning lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.